This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch HaMabam, welcome everyone. The Shiurim on Sefer Bamidbar, sponsored by our good friend Rabbi Isaac Yasilovsky, Lei Nishmas, his father, Rabbi Shapsi, Ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac. So Shama Shavan Aliyah. This is actually the last year on Sefer Bamidbar, so we appreciate Rabbi Isaac's sponsorship, as well as by Dr. Zakheim and Mishpachta, Lei Nishmas, Rabbi Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov. Shama Shavan Aliyah. Tonight's share is partially sponsored by Yossi Lurch of London. If anybody wants to contribute to our tonight's share, could let us know. This is the last share on Sefer Bamidbar. Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll have a little hiatus and we resume in 2 weeks from tonight. Okay, so Parshas Pinchas, one of the major subjects in Parshas Pinchas is the counting of Klal Yisrael, where all the Shvatim are counted yet again. And I would like to take you to Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the counting of Shevet Yisachar. So the Pesukim say, B'nei Yisachar l'mishpachaysam toila mishpachas ha-toila'i l'fuva mishpachas ha-puni l'yashuv mishpachas ha-yashuvi l'shimroin mishpachas ha-shimroini. Rashi points out in the beginning of the count that all the Shvatim are given an extra He and Yud to their names. Why is there an extra hey and yud added to their names? For example, Mishpachas Chanoich, Mishpachas HaChanoichi. A hey is added in the beginning and a yud on the other end. So Rashi points out on Pasuk Hey that the Umay Soilam began to mock the Jewish people. The Umay Soilam said, look, you think your lineage is pure, you're having this whole Yichus Brivel, you're having this whole record of your lineage, you think your Yichus is pure. The Egyptians dominated your bodies in Egypt. You don't think they dominated your wives? You don't think they abused your wives? Of course they violated your wives. So your lineage is disqualified. So Hashem came and He is made, He testifies to the purity of the Jewish people by adding the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the names of Klal Yisrael. This is what it means in Tehillim. Eidos Shiftei Ka Eidos Liyisrael, the letters Ka, Yud and He, were added to the names of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Rashi says, the family of Yimna, it doesn't say, Li Yimna Mishpachas HaYimni, because Yimna doesn't need a He and a Yud, because Yimna begins with a Yud and ends with a He anyway, so they're good without any additions. Okay, so we come to Shevet Yisachar, the first child of Yisachar, Toila Mishpachas ha-toila'i, so toila gets a he and a yud, lefuva mishpachas ha-puni. Well, what's going on with puva? It should be lefuva mishpachas ha-puvi. What's puni? Where'd the nun come from? That's, you know, an illegal nun. Where they get that nun from? Where they stick it in? So the Bala Turim says, this is Shevet Yisachar talking about. They were the Tamidei Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, like the Pasuk says, Ubnei Yisachar Yoidei Binim Bina La'itim. So since they were the Tamid Chachamim, Hakol Poinim Aleim, everyone turned to them, everybody streamed to them. So that's indicated by the word Lefuva Mishpachas HaPuni. Everybody streamed to attach themselves to this Shevet. So that, therefore it says Puni. Arachayim HaKadosh says another idea. And he says, he's talking about the importance of those who learn Torah, which is us, to recognize that the same way in the Beis HaMikdash, there were clay shares, there were vessels that were used for sacrificial items, and they had sanctity, and they had to be maintained in full sanctity. So the mouth, which is used to say words of Torah, has to be treated as a kli shares. In fact, the Gra says that the mouth is holier than a kli shares. The mouth is actually, the Gra says, kodesh kadashim, which is holier than a kli shares. And therefore, one has to be careful, since you use your mouth to learn, one has to be very careful not to use the mouth for improper words. This is indicated, this is merumas in the pasuk, lefuva, the mouth that learns Torah, hapuni, you need to be mifane, you need to clear it out, you need to clean it out to make sure that the mouth is not defiled by improper conversation. That's the Arachayim HaKadosh. Fine. We go on to the next individual. Liyashuv. Now, who in the world is Yashuv? Who's this guy? Or rabbi, or whatever he did. Who is this individual? So Rashi's, because these individuals are the same people who are counted in Parshas Vayigash. And in Vayigash, there is nobody Yashuv. Says Rashi, oh, there was a guy Yoiv. And Yashuv is Yoiv. Same guy. So what happened? He, you know, over the course of time, the shin ended up in his name. No further information given. So Rashi just identifies Yashuv as Yoiv. He's Yoiv in Vayigash. Where did he get the shin? I don't know. So a shin crept into his name. I don't know. Maybe it's like a Polish thing. My grandmother, Aleha Shalom, I'm Dani, my name is Dani, so she would call me Danashi. So maybe it's a Polish thing. Yoiv became Yashuv, you know? Everybody in the family got a she in the net. Everybody became a she. So I don't know, maybe that this is the Makar. Yoiv got Yashuv. It's a Minog Sachachav. However, Tosfos explains further. It's not on the sheet. Tosfos explains that Yisachar, the father, realized that Yoiv is not a proper name. So he gave him a shin, because after all, Yisachar has an extra shin to go. He has a spare tire. Because you're only pronouncing one of the shins anyway, so what's he supposed to do with the extra shin? It's like a spear. So he threw him a bone, he threw him a shin. What's going on? Why did he throw him a shin? Why did he throw him a different letter? So the Taz, in his commentary on Rashi, the Taz wrote, actually we hope to be by, the Taz is buried in the city of Lemberg. Yeah? He was the rabbi in Krakow. He was buried in Lemberg, but the whole Beis HaChaim was destroyed. We hope to be there next week. The Taz, by the way, the Taz's father-in-law was the Bach. And the Bach, how did the Shidduch happen? The Bach once said to the Taz, the Taz was the Bach's Talmud, he said, I have a daughter. She's as beautiful as the moon. So the Taz says, Im Kain, I want to be a Machin Kiddush Levana. I want to do Kiddush Levana. I want to marry. Anyway, that's how the Shidduch was made. And the Taz, in his commentary to Rashi, called Divrei David, quotes the Megala Amukos, that the reason why Yoiv did not like his name is Yoiv was the name of an ancient Avodah Zarah. In the times of the Torah, Yoiv was the name of an Avodah Zarah. So Yoiv tells his father, what kind of crazy name is this? So the Mefarshim asks, so why did Yisachar give him that name? So the Sefer Devek Toiv says, it wasn't always the name of Azar, it came later. After he got the name, it became the name of Azar. So Yoiv says, well, what kind of name is this? So Yisachar said, okay, I'll change your name, and he threw him a shin. Why a shin? Okay, so this is pretty amazing. We're going to give two perushim, why the shin compensates for Yoiv's fear that he was named after Avodah Zarah. We know that on the tefillin is written the name of Hashem. So most people think, why? You have a shin on the shel rosh, you have a dalid in the back, you have a yud on the shel yad, that spells out shakai. That's not the real reason. Comes the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef says the letter shin alone is the name of Hashem. How? If you take the yud kei vav kei, and you atbash it, which means, you know what atbash is? You substitute aleph for a taf, beis for a shin, gimel for a resh, dalid for a kuf, and so on. Atbash the yud kei vav kei. So yud becomes a mem. Okay? A hey becomes a tzadi. By the way, the Marsha says the word mitzvah, listen to this, mitzvah is Hashem's name. Because mem with yud kei vav kei is a yud. Tzadi yud kei vav kei is a hey. And then vav hey. So if the first two letters of mitzvah are yud kei, and then vav kei. So the word mitzvah is really Hashem's name, if you atbash the first two letters. Okay, so if you take the yud kei vav kei, atbash, yud is a mem, and hey is a tzadi, and vav is a pei, and hey is a tzadi, what's the numerical value of mem, tzadi, pei, tzadi? Two tzadis is 180. Plus a pei is 260, plus a mem is for 300. Shin! Shin is yud kei vav kei. The shin alone is the name of Hashem. So Yoiv was afraid he was named after Avodah Zarah, so Yisachar said, okay, no problem. Take a shin. Shin is the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you'll be good to go. By the way, Shaul Tshuvas Beis Ephraim brings an opinion, and now we don't paskin this way, that how do you pronounce the name Yisachar? Until Parshas Pinchas, when Yisachar maintained two shins, you pronounce it Yisachar. Once you get to Parshas Pinchas, So he lost the shin, and now it's Yisachar. We don't do that, but there is such an opinion based on what we're saying. And then I realized there might be another reason why Shin is the name of Hashem, and that is Elohim. Not only Yudke Vavke is a Shin, Elohim is a Shin. How? Aleph Lamed Pei. Hey Yud. Right, let's spell out Elohim B'miluai. Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei. Hey is Hey Yud. Excuse me. Aleph Lamed Pei. Lamed Mem Dalet. Hey Yud. Yud Vav Dalet. Mem. Add it up, 300. You don't believe me? Here, we're going to do it right now. Try it. Aleph Lamed Pei is 111. Then Lamed is Lamed Mem Dalet is 74. Hey is Hey Yud is 15. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet is 20. And Mem is Mem is 80. So 80 and 20 is 100, plus 15, 115, plus 74, 185, 189, plus 111 is 300. So Shin is Elohim also. So it's actually amazing. Shin is the Shem Havaya, and Shim is the Midas Hadin. So that's what it means. Hashem Elohimu, it's all one. It's all the same thing. It all ends up in the Shin on the Shel Rosh. That's another meaning, you know, the Shel Rosh. You have one strap in the front going to the right side, Midas HaChesed, Shem Havaya. One strap going to the left side, Midas HaDin. But on the top, it's all the same Midah. It's all the Yud Kei Vav Kei and the Midas HaDin come together. Okay, so now that we spoke about Yisachar, by the way, the Baal Turim gives another pshat why Yoiv became Yashuv, because the Bnei Yisachar were the Tamei Chachamim. They were Marbe B'Yeshiva. They learned a lot, and it says in Pirkei Avos, Marbe Yeshiva, Marbe Chachma. The more time you spend in the academy, the wiser you become. And therefore, Yoiv became Yashuv, indicating he spent time studying. So, this is an excuse to speak about an interesting subject. And namely, that is Shevet Yisachar. And an individual who is named with the name Yisachar in his Sefer, and that is the Bnei Yisachar. Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinav, the Dinava Rav, the founder of what is known as Munkach, who, by the way, he was a nephew of the Rebbe Rav Melech, Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk, and a Talmud of Menachem Mendel Rimanov, and a Talmud of the Chayz of Lublin, and he started off as a Rav in Dinav, and like many good rabbis, he made his rounds throughout many cities in Poland. And interestingly and ironically, his last rabbinic post was also in Dinav. So he's known as the Dinav Rav. That's because he started there and he ended there, but he did a circuitous round in the interim. Anyway, there's a long tradition and legacy of Munkach. Actually, I happen to like this farm very much. So the son of the Bnei Yisachar was Elozer Shapiro, who was the Yoidei Bina. And his son was Rav Shloima Shapiro, the Shem Shloima. His son was Rav Tzvi Hirsch, the Darkei Tshuva. And his son was the Minchas Elozer, the Shar Yisachar. Okay, so I want to share with you today, what kind of name is the Sefer Bnei Yisachar? Where did he get this name from? Why would he call the Sefer? So I don't know, you know, since when do we have to analyze names of Sfarim? But this is actually quite interesting. Because if anyone's familiar with the Sefer Bnei Yisachar, which is an amazing Sefer, and I think you could even get it in English, he has such long essays on one particular Yom Tov, Chanukah. He's always busy with Chanukah. And he's busy with the idea that the light of the menorah is the light of the Or HaGanoz. And he quotes the Roikeach, and he quotes Reb Pinchas Karatzer, and he quotes the Maharal. The Bnei Yisachar, before the Bnei Yisachar, there's really not so much material on Chanukah. The Bnei Yisachar has pages and chapters and unbelievable amount of material. And he himself wondered, why is he so attracted to Chanukah? So he said, well, maybe, you know, you always have to look at the root of your soul. Maybe he's a descendant of the Chashmonaim, but he's not. He's not a Kohen. He's a Yisrael. He doesn't come from the Chashmonaim. What's his connection to Chanukah? So the Bnei Yisachar says, you know what? He's going to go and ask the Chayz of Lublin. Now, the Chayz of Lublin, he could, you know, look you in the face and he could tell you what you ate for breakfast. You know, he could tell you everything about you. So he walks into the Chazal Ben, he figured he's going to ask him, you know, what's the shoresh of my neshama? And he, before he could even get a word out of his mouth, the Chazal Ben turns to him, and he says, by the way, pal, you come from Shevet Yisachar. And if you wanted to know why you're so attracted to Chanukah, and he's like, huh? I'll tell you why. Because you were on the Bezdin of the Chashmonaim. You were on the Bezdin of the Chashmonaim. Now it's very interesting that there should be somebody who knows they come for Shevet Yisachar. The Gemara says basically that Aseres HaShvatim were exiled, even though Yirmiyah did bring back select members of the Aseres HaShvatim. But I mean, our tradition is we basically come from Yehuda and Binyamin, except for there are segments in Klal Yisrael that have traditions that they come from various Shvatim. For example, Ethiopian Jews have a tradition they come from Shevet Dan. If I'm not mistaken, Bukharian Jews have a tradition they come from Shevet Reuven. So in India, I have a good friend who's on the WhatsApp groups. He can't get the Sefer yet because Amazon doesn't deliver to Northeast India. And Alibaba did not yet get in the darkness and the dawn. So I have a deal with him. I send him the electronic copy until he's able to get the actual copy. One time, I wanted to get him the book, so I sent it in the mail. It cost about $50. A week, 2 weeks, a month. I sent him the book on the Yom Narom, and he got it for Pesach. Probably they put on a donkey, and then they put on a sheep, and then they tied it to a shark. I don't know how they got it over there. But he eventually got it. So, okay. So, this is an amazing tradition the Bnei Yisachar has, that he himself comes from the Shevet Yisachar, and that's his connection to Chanukah, because we say in the Pizmain of the Maale Sefer, we say, Bnei Vina Yemei Shmaina Kavushir Ananim, that the Bnei Yisachar were, they used their expertise to establish the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Now, his son, the son of the Bnei Yisachar, named his sefer Yoidei Bina. And the reason why he named his sefer Yoidei Bina is since his father was told by the Chayz of Lublin that he comes from Shevet Yisachar, and Shevet Yisachar, it says about them, Ubnei Yisachar Yoidei Bina Lo'itim, so he also followed the family tradition, naming the sefer Yoidei Bina. The great-grandson, no sound? Could you hear me? No. Let's see. They say they can't hear me. Are you able to hear me? Nobody? Let's see. Could you hear me now? Now you can hear me. Okay. There you go.
Yes, we could, Rabbi.
Okay. I'll take that as a yes.
Thank you.
Alvin, I recognize your voice. Okay.
Okay. Well, what did we miss?
You'll watch it on Torah anytime. Okay. So, the great-grandson of the Bnei Yisachar was Rav Tzvi Hirsch Shapiro, who was a big paisik, the Darkei Tshuva. And he wrote a sefer. And amazingly, the name of this sefer is Darkei Emuna. And he took the gematria of the word Emuna. What's the numerical value of Emuna? 96, 102. And he wrote 102 perushim in the words Yehuda HaMakabi. That's the sefer. 102 explanations for Yehuda HaMakabi. He said, why did I write that? He says, because my Zeidah, the Bnei Yisachar, he had so many chidushim on Chanukah. And he didn't have time to write because he only wrote his chidushim on Chanukah. He didn't have time the rest of the year. So I'm following in his footsteps, in other words, of bringing down great light and great perushim, specifically on Chanukah, because we come from Shevet Yisachar. So tonight, I would like to share with you a few thoughts from the Bnei Yisachar on the 3 weeks, on the Bein HaMetzarim. Some of them maybe we've spoken out in the past. A number of them are brand new. And since in the parsha we're learning about the Shevet Yisachar, and here is one of the descendants, and they happen to be going there in a couple days, so this is a good opportunity. Here's the first question. Parshas Chukas and Balak. They're very often divided. Parshas Matos and Maaseh, they're very often together. Now, when Matos and Maaseh are together, they're monster parshios, right? I mean, Matos Maaseh is, I don't think there's a longer combination than Matos and Maaseh. Tell you a little secret. It was supposed to be my bar mitzvah parsha, and my parents had rachmanis on me. You know, kid's going to lay in 260 psukim. So my bar mitzvah parsha conveniently became Shabbos Nachamu. You know, that was a little bit easier. But why did Chazal put together Matos and Maaseh and separate Chukas and Balak, which would then mean the parshios of the 3 weeks are Devarim, Matos Maaseh, and sometimes even Pinchas? Why don't we put Chukas and Balak together, break apart Matos and Maaseh, and then the parshios of the 3 weeks will be Matos, Maaseh, and Devarim? So the Bnei Yisachar says as follows. It is not coincidental that we specifically learn during the 3 weeks Pinchas, Matos, and Maaseh. What is the subject matter of Matos, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the distribution of Eretz Yisrael? What is the subject matter of Parshas Pinchas? La'ela techalek ha'aretz, the distribution of the land of Israel. And therefore, since this time of the year, we're yearning to return to Eretz Yisrael, we're yearning to be restored to our borders in Eretz Yisrael. We all want to go back to Arzeinu HaKadosha, so Chazal manipulated the parshios so that specifically during the 3 weeks we should lay Pinchas, Matos Maaseh, and Devarim, because these are the parshios that speak about the distribution of Eretz Yisrael. While we're on the subject, I just saw this week that there was a great Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. Everybody's familiar with Rav Meir Shapiro, but when he passed away, they offered the job to Rav Menachem Zemba, who did not take it, and the Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin became the Eretz Tzvi, Reb Tzvi Frommer, known as the Kuzha Glover Goyin. And he was a student of the Avnei Nezer, the Sachachavar Rav. And the Sachachavar Rav once sent him a certain chiddush, that what should a person learn during the 3 weeks? He should learn Hilchos Yom Tov. Because since ultimately this time of the year will turn into Yom Tov, the Tzoyim HaRavi and the Tzoyim HaChamishi will turn into Yom Tovim, therefore it's appropriate, it's in Yana D'Yom to learn Hilchos Yom Tov. Well, then it comes out amazing because Parshas Pinchas speaks about the Karbanos of Yom Tov. This is the Parsha of the Mayadim as well. Okay, here's another thought from the Bnei Yisachar. If you turn to a Sefer, it's called Sefer Shoftim, the second book of the Nevi'im. And the book begins, Vayihi achari mois Yehoshua, it was after the death of Yehoshua, Vayishalu Bnei Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where should we go? Who should inherit Eretz Yisrael first? This is talking about after the land was conquered, before it was divided. And Hashem said, Yehuda Yale, Yehuda will go up first, Yehuda will conquer first, Yehuda will take their portion first. Inexplicably, after God tells Yehuda, hey, Yehuda, you take the land first, the pasuk says, Vayomer Yehuda l'Shimon Achiv, Yehuda says to his brother Shimon, Ale iti begoyroli, you come with me, help me settle my land, V'halachti gamani yitcha begoyrocha, and I'll go with you and I'll help you settle your land. Let's make a pact. What's going on over here? Why is Yehuda joining Shimon? God told Yehuda, take your land. Asher didn't go and tell Naphtali, look, Naphtali, you join me in getting my land, and I'll join up with you in getting your land. What's this a pact? Yehuda and Shimon. What? Yehuda didn't have trust in God? God said, Yehuda, take your land. What does Yehuda need to bring Shimon in on the deal with it? So one of the great principles in the Sefer Bnei Yisachar is that each month of the Jewish calendar corresponds to a different Shevet. And there are actually two ways of figuring that out. There's the calculation of the Arizal, there's the calculation of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. But based on the Ari, each Shevet is connected to a particular month. Shevet Yehuda is connected to Nisan, the month of Nisan. And that's a very obvious and clear shidduch. Nisan is the month of the year where God makes open miracles, where Hashem's name is Yehuda, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Hashem is revealed, Hashem is open. So Yehuda and Nisan go together. In fact, when the Nesim were makriv their karbonos in the month of Nisan, the first day of Nisan's karbon was Nachshon ben Aminadov, the Mate Yehuda. Shimon, on the other hand, they're having a tough week. I mean, this whole episode of Cosby living with Zimri. Zimri is the Nasi of Shevet Shimon. So this whole plague was caused by Shevet Shimon. Shevet Shimon is connected to the month of Av. Shevet Shimon is connected to Chorben. Shimon was the one who was most responsible for selling Yosef. Shimon, he's had many travails. He was involved in the city of Shechem. So Yehuda is tied to the month of Nisan, and Shimon is tied to the month of Av. Now, even though the month of Nisan is the best month of the year, and Av is, you know, thumbs down, nevertheless, that's only now. But Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. And ultimately, the month of Av will be a great Yom Tov. And the Tzoyim HaChamishi will be a tremendous Yom Tov, a Yom Tov celebrating the Binyan of the Third Beis HaMikdash. So right now, Shimon's month is a bad month. And Yehuda's month is a good month. But Yehuda had a lot of foresight. And Yehuda said, you know what? Right now, me and Nisan were like this, and I have the best month of the year, but the time will come, Shimon's going to have his spotlight, and I'm going to be, you know, off on the side. So Yehuda struck a deal with Shimon. Shimon, you come with me now. You connect yourself. You put yourself under my mazel now. I'll elevate you now. I'll give you a little promotion. Me and you will hang out together. I'll give you some of the magic of Nisan now, but we're making a deal. You're with me now, but I'm with you later. Because Yehuda saw off into the future, the tzemicha, the fruition of the Malchus Beis David, that ultimately we will sprout in the month of Av, and ultimately Mashiach is born in Av. So Yehuda said, look, I'll do you a favor. I throw you a bone now, because you're going to throw me a bone when we really need it in the month of Av. Ultimately, that will become a time of Yom Tov. So that's a beautiful insight in the Yisoschar, really for the opening psukim of Sefer Shoftim. And now here's another great teaching of the Bnei Yisoschar. Any mathematicians here? Any math wizards? Good. So whatever I say, well, you just accept it. You know how to figure out permutations, right? Just say no, right? So I'm going to tell you. The name Elohim. Elohim has five letters. Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yod, Mem. How many different ways are there to spell Elohim? So Isaac remembers from the shir 2 years ago about Eliyahu HaNavi that there are 120 ways to spin the five letters Eliyahu. You know that? Isn't that amazing? Only five letters. And the way you figure it out, 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. So 5 times 4 is 20, times 3 is 60, times 2 is 120. That's why the Arizal says to say Eliyahu HaNavi 130 times Saturday night, because connected the 120 permutations of Eliyahu and then the 10 letters of it. Fine. So Eliyahu has 120 permutations. How many permutations does Yud-Kei Vav-Kei have? So you would do 4 times 3 times 2. 4 times 3 is 12 times 2 is 24. So there should be 24 permutations. The only thing is they're two hays. So it's as if they're three letters. So it's 3 times 2. So it's really 4 times 3 and that's it. 12. There's 12 ways to spell Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Okay? There are 12 ways to mix up to these letters. Every month of the year has another permutation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and the Bnei Yisoschar teaches that when you're saying the Shemoneh Esrei of Mustaf on Rosh Chodesh, when you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Rashei Chadashim, you should, when you say that Hashem, have in mind the specific Yud-Kei Vav-Kei associated with that month. So you say, how am I supposed to know? The answer is that in the art scroll, Sfard Siddur, they give you the permutation. So, but I don't daven Sfard. Good, I don't either. But at least take out the Sfard Siddur for the Musaf. This way you could know what permutation is associated with that month. Anyway, what permutation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is associated with Nisan? Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Now, not only that, the Bnei Yisrael gives a pasuk to help you remember the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei association of that month. So the pasuk of Nisan is Yismuchu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The month of Tammuz is basically the worst month of the year. Why? Because it has the most days of the 3 weeks. It has 13 days of the 3 weeks. The Yud-Kei Vav-Kei associated with Tammuz is Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei backward. From the Pasuk, V'chol-Zeh, Einenu, Shoiveh, Li, which is Soifei Tevois, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei backward. Here's a question. When you want to say the four-letter name of Hashem, how do you say that name? You say the Shem Havaya. Because you can't say, we don't even say Yud-Kei Va, we don't even say Yud Hey, then Va, we don't even say the letters in order, we say Shem Havaya. Now, where does Shem Havaya come from? Shem Havaya is the permutation of the month of Av. Hey, Vav, Yud Hey. The month of Av's permutation is Havaya. Why of all the months of the year, when we want to say God's name, do we pick the permutation of the month of Av and we call it Havaya? We could have said, I don't know, any of the months, any of the Hey Hey Yud Vav or Hey Hey Vav Yud. Why Havaya? Where does Havaya come? Oh, it says the Bnei Yisrael. Because even though the month of Av is a month of bad mazel, this is the number 7. Nevertheless, ultimately, the month of Av will turn into a month of great mazel for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's fortune will completely turn. It will be a month of the coming of Mashiach. And therefore, as a way of always anticipating the coming of Mashiach, we specifically refer to Hashem's name as Shem Havaya. That's a beautiful idea of the Bnei Yisrael. Then, we have this idea we like to say over, but it's really developed over the years. And even though you have part of it in the new book, if you want to order the new book, by the way, you could go to the Art Scroll website and you could get free shipping if you put in promo code RabbiDG. They just some random promo code. Okay. Anyway, the Bnei Yisrael makes the following calculation. How many hours in the 3 weeks? How many days in the 3 weeks? 21. 3 weeks has 21 days. The only thing is, there aren't 21 days in 3 weeks, because the 3 weeks begins on a Sunday, it ends on a Sunday, so there are really 22 days in the 3 weeks. So where does 3 weeks come from? That's the big question. Who decided the 3 weeks? And there are 22 days in the 3 weeks. How many hours in the 3 weeks? So 22 times 24 is 528. Gematria Mafteach Ki. Says the Bnei Yisrael, the 528 hours in the 3 weeks correspond to the 528 Prakim in Shisha Sidre Mishnah. The Megala Amukos writes there are 528 Prakim in Shisha Sidre Mishnah. Comes Rabbi Shaya Berlin and he says, what are you talking about? There are only 523. So the Bnei Yisrael says that's 523 prakim of Mishnah, but 5 additional prakim of Tosefta have been added to the Mishnah. The 6th parak of Perkei Avos, which is Braisa, a parak in Psachim, which is Tosefta, a parak in Bikurim, which is Tosefta, a parak in Kiddushin, which is Tosefta, and a parak in Saita. So there are 523 prakim proper, an additional 5 prakim of Tosefta. And how many hours of the 3 weeks? 528, but 5 hours left to the in the last day of the 3 weeks, the last day of the 9 days, Mashiach is born 5 hours left into the end of the 3 weeks. So the first 523 hours of the 3 weeks correspond to the 523 prakim of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And the last 5 hours of of the 3 weeks correspond to the five prakim of Tosefta. So on Shabbos we said over, or on a different occasion we said over, there's a Sefer Ahavas Torah who makes a calculation. How many words does Bilam say in Parshas Balak? Bilam says exactly 523 words. So it's rather remarkable. For each word that Bilam said, we had another hour of Peronios in the 3 weeks. And as if the 523 prakim of Shisha Siddur Mishnah are mevatel, the 523 hours of the 3 weeks, and the 523 words of Bilam Harasha. Two more ideas, and then we'll call it a night. Why is Mashiach born on Tisha B'Av? Wow, what a fortuitous time to be born. You know, Yirmiyah HaNavi was born on Tisha B'Av, and he cursed the day he was born. Why would Mashiach be born on Tisha B'Av? So the Bnei Yisrael quotes with Pinchas Karatzer, we know, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, that when Klal Yisrael were doing the will of God, if you would look at the Kruvim faced each other. And when we weren't doing the will of God, they were back to back. So you would expect, what position do you think the Kruvim would be in when the Goyim went in to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? You would think they would be, you know, at each other's necks or back to back. No, they were embracing each other, hugging each other. What's going on? Ein lecha, ein oisin ritzanus shel makom gedar lemizu. There's no greater time that we weren't doing the will of Hashem. So the Bnei Yisrael gives the following parable. Says you have two, you have a couple, and they're at each other's throats, and they're at each other's necks, and they can't get along, and they're clawing at each other. And then the husband says, "Okay, I'm going on a business trip," and the wife escorts him to the airport, and they're embraced in love and affection and passionate affection. What happened? So absence makes the heart grow fond. When there's going to be a prolonged period of absence, it creates a certain longing and it creates a certain love, and whatever love was sort of, so to speak, dimmed and had waned is rekindled when there's going to be a long absence. Says Bnei Yisrael, as low as we fell and as angry that we made God, but the Ribbono Shel Olam was leaving us. He was saying, kids, adios. We were like an almana. Our husband left us. We weren't a widow. We were like, the Gemara says, like a woman whose husband went overseas. So at that moment of separation, despite the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam was so angry and upset at us, it kindled within him and within us such a longing for each other, such a yearning for each other, such a love for each other, that moment was a moment of unbridled love that was unmatched in the history of the Jewish people. Now, the same way there's a halacha that before a baal leaves his wife, before a husband goes away, chayiv adam lifkoid es ishtoi, kaidem sheyatzel aderach, there's a mitzvah of oina before the husband travels away. So too, before God left us, he had to, so to speak, visit us and spend marital time with the Bnei Yisrael. That was the moment of the ultimate union of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And that zivug produced the holiest soul that there ever was. And that's the idea that Mashiach is specifically born on Tisha B'Av. The moment of God leaving us is the moment of the unbridled expression of Hashem's love for the Jewish people. And finally, the Bnei Yisrael writes, there was a man by the name of Rebbe. And the Gemara says in Masech, the Megillah Hei Amid Beis, Rebbe wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. So you say, hey, that's something me and Rebbe have in common, right? No, Rebbe halachically wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. So Gemara says, what do you mean you want to uproot Tisha B'Av? Gemara says it was an occasion where Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos, and they're pushing it off to Sunday. And the Rebbe said, once we're pushing it off, let's get rid of it entirely. So the question is, why didn't Rabban Gamliel want to abolish Tisha B'Av? Hillel, there are a lot of rabbis. Nobody wanted to abolish it, it was just Rebbe. What was Rebbe's special reason to abolish Tisha B'Av? There's a Yerushalmi, and it's Bron Yaradea, that if somebody passes away, if a relative is lost in a family, the halacha is yidagu kol hamishpacha. The whole family should worry. It's so to speak, the Yishami says it's like a pile of stones. A mishpach is like a pile of stones. And when one stone is removed, the whole family is sort of teetering. There's no stability. Says the Yishami, Noilad ben Zachar, when a boy is born, Nisbasasa mishpacha, the family is firm again. Now, Rebbe, the Gemara in Shabbos says, always try to defend David HaMelech. Whenever the Gemara says, did David HaMelech sin? Did he not sin? Rebbe always came to the defense of David. Why? Because Rebbe came from David HaMelech. Every Tisha B'Av, Rebbe felt the birth of a new boy in his family. Mashiach. Mashiach is born in Tisha B'Av. So Rebbe sensed, more than anybody else, the mourning, the veil of mourning lifting on Tisha B'Av. Rebbe sensed the redeeming aspect of Tisha B'Av. And Rebbe said, maybe you guys, you don't feel it, you don't sense it, but I sense that on Tisha B'Av, it's Noilad ben Zachar Nisrape Kol HaMishpacha. Rebbe sensed the healing qualities of the day of Tisha B'Av, and therefore Rebbe, more than anybody else, wanted to abolish Tisha B'Av. Now listen to this. The Yushalmi says that Rebbe passed away on an Erev Shabbos, and everybody came to his funeral except for one launderer. And a bas kol cried out, whoever was at the funeral of Rebbe is going straight to Olam Haba. And the launderer said, I can't believe I missed it. Now I'm not going to go straight to Olam Haba. He went up to the roof, he jumped off, and he killed himself. And then the bas kol said, he's also going to Olam Haba. Because he felt the loss of not being there, he's also going to Olam Haba. And the Gemara says everybody had to go get home after the funeral, and it was very late in the day, and Hashem made Friday very long. He held up the sun so that everyone should make it home for Shabbos. Rebbe was the only Tana in history that Shabbos was delayed and pushed off in honor of Rebbe. Why? Because since Rebbe wanted to honor the Shabbos, and Rebbe said Shabbos should push away Tisha B'Av, so Rebbe gave tremendous kavod to Shabbos. So Hashem said, you were mechabed Shabbos, that Shabbos should push away Tisha B'Av. We're mechabed you, that in your honor, Shabbos is nidche just a little bit. So we should all be zoiche that this year we should be able to be madche the Tisha B'Av, and we should all feel the redeeming qualities of this time of the year with the Leda of Mashiach Tzidkenu. But even not, it's a Zman where as distant as we are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a time that we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the closest relationship of any other time, because as Ribbono Shel Olam is bringing Chorban, the Ribbono Shel Olam is also showering His love upon us. Okay, everyone? Bracha v'atzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.